Welcome to Shir and Svarno, Parshas Hazinu. Last night we started looking at the Svarno on Pasuk Zayin, Zechor Yemos Olam, where the Svarno reminds us of the Gemara and Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says that the Shiras Hazinu is broken up into six sections that are symbolized by the mnemonic Hazivlach, and we pointed out that, you know, because of that, this is the one Parsha where the Aliyos are absolute. You can't divide the Aliyos of the Shira in any way other than the mnemonic of Hazivlach. And the Svarno had started explaining to us what the function of each of these, or the theme of each of these stanzas in Shiras Hazinu is. So we saw the Hey, Hazinu Hashamayim V'Adabeira, which the theme of that first stanza, according to the Svarno, is justifying the ways of God, even when they seem difficult for us to understand. After all, the Shira is going to describe how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring difficult and terrible times upon the Jewish people, and our reaction might be to say, what happened? You know, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to us? So at Surah Tam and Paolo, we nonetheless acknowledge that God is a rock, He's unchanging, He's perfect in all His ways. The Zion, Zechor Yemos Olam, outlines the early stages of Jewish history, where indeed when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, His desire was to have all of mankind serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. That didn't really work out. We had the Dor HaMabul, we had the Dor HaFlaga, we had much rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked Klal Yisrael as a nation that would have a special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even that didn't quite work out in the best possible way. Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel, unfortunately. They did not live up to everything they were supposed to do. Nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu looks forward and davens to a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will usher in the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael in a way in which He took us out of Egypt originally, and protected us through the desert. That's Kinesher Yorikino, Agozol of Yerachev, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried the Jewish people like an eagle carries its young, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu should guide us when it comes to the future as well. So the theme of that second section, the Zion, is the early history of the Jewish people, how He took us out of Mitzrayim, how He chose us, gave us the Torah at Har Sinai, and all of those things that happened at that point. The third section of the Shira is described by, begins with Shlishi, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yarkiveo Abamos Seyaretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised up and placed the Jewish people on the high portions of the land, which explains the Svarno, the theme thereof is as follows. Shenosan lahem makom nachon la'avdo b'simcha v'tuv levav mirov kol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. He gave us a place to serve Hashem with happiness, with joy, in prosperity. V'hem amaru v'shimu ra tachas tova. Unfortunately, the Jewish people rebelled there too, and they returned God's goodness with evil. And that coming into Eretz Yisrael and the misbehavior of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael is described there. Yarkivei Abamos Seyaretz, again, as we said before, He raised us up on the high portions of the land. He brought us to Eretz Yisrael. Vayochal Tnuvo Sodoi, we were able to eat the produce of the field. Vayenikeu Dvash Misela V'Shemen Mechal Mishtzur, we were given honey, we were given oil. But Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot, Yeshurun became fat and kicked back against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayitosh Eloka Oso, we abandoned God who had made us. Tzor Yelod Choteshi Vatishkach Kel Mechol Alecha, you forgot the rock who had born you, and you forgot, or you abandoned Him, you forgot the God who had made you. That description of how we were given everything and yet we rebelled against it, that's the third stanza in this song. Just to comment a little bit from the Svarno on these words, So there's an interesting comment from the Sfarna on Pasuk Tesvav. Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot. Right? Yeshurun, which is another name for Klal Yisrael, became fat and they kicked back against Hashem. Vayitosh Elelka Osahu, and he abandoned the God who had made him. The simple pshat in the Pasuk is that the whole Pasuk has the same subject. Yeshurun, Klal Yisrael, rebelled against Hashem. They became fat and they kicked back and they abandoned God. But a very interesting interpretation, the Sfarno suggests that maybe there are actually two subjects in this sentence. Hine gam balei ho'irun shebohem hanikroin yeshurun osu kmo abehemos haboatos bifnei adam shenosin lohem mozom. Comments the Sfarno, the name Yeshurun does not apply to the Jewish people as a whole. It's interesting to note that the name Yeshurun is only used at the very end of Chumash. It's used here, it's used in Vezos HaBracha. It's not a term which is used throughout the Chumash in referring to Klal Yisrael. So the Sfarno says that there's reason for that. Yeshurun does not refer to Klal Yisrael as a whole. It refers to the Balei Iyun Shebohem, the wise, intelligent people among Klal Yisrael. Why are they called Yeshurun? Because the word Yeshurun is related to the word to see something from afar. Bilam HaRosha says, Ashurenu v'lo ato. I can see what's going to happen even though it's not happening right now. So the people of Yeshurun are people of vision. They can see into the future. They can see things that the average people can't. Even these people rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How did they rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Pasuk says, Shomanto aviso kosisa. You became fat. What does that mean? So he writes as follows. Ato Yeshurun kahal tov se atar balei ho'iyun. The Yeshurun people within Klal Yisrael, those people who had a greater grasp on Torah, poniso el tanugim agashmiim. You turned to luxuries, to physical luxuries. Uvozel si oviso mehovin dakus ha'emes. When you got too involved in luxuries, you couldn't appreciate the fine points of truth. So what happened? So, Vayitosh Eloka Osohu, he abandoned the God who had made him. Who's he? Not Yeshurun. Lefikach Notash Hehamon Eloka Osohu. The masses abandoned and veered off from the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They abandoned HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because the leadership were too sunk in their gashmius, in their pursuit of physical pleasures. So note the way that the Sfarno understands the Pasuk. The leadership of Klal Yisrael did not abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They veered off where they were supposed to be slightly. But the slight deviation of the leadership had a profound influence upon the masses. If the leadership were involved in pursuing physical pursuits in a way that was excessive, that then led the masses to abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu altogether. Right? They say in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, if the Jews in Litta are Mevatel Torah, it means the Jews in Paris are going to be Mechalel Shabbos. Right? In other words, there's a trickle-down effect. You know, everyone is supposed to be trying to push themselves on their level to maximize what they're supposed to be doing. You know, so if you're a kind of Jew for whom Chilul Shabbos is inconceivable, but Bittul Torah is within the purview of the things that you unfortunately, you know, find yourself doing, so, you know, your challenge is to try to maintain your Torah learning on the highest level. And if you deviate from that, that's going to have a trickle-down effect for people who are struggling with Shmiras Shabbos, where, you know, they're going to find themselves challenged in that way. When the people on the top are steadfast in their commitments, it means that the people who are, you know, lower down on the pyramid are going to be more steadfast in their commitments. If Yeshurun is careful, you know, not to overindulge, it means that the masses are going to be careful to be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a, you know, a very beautiful insight that the Sfarno has on that pasuk. So that's the third stanza, Hey Zayin Yud. The fourth stanza, Revi'i, begins with the words Vayar Hashem Vayinotz Mikas Bonov Uvenosov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees what's going on and he's angry because of what his sons and daughters have done. So, on this stanza, the Svarno comments as follows. Shebegodol avonam naflu b'machmorei rishaim v'hayu ru'uyim l'chiloyon chorutz. This stanza outlines the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the treachery of the Jewish people, to their sinfulness, and it describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings terrible punishments upon them, such that they really should have been destroyed. Hayu ru'uyim l'kiloyon charutz. They should have been worthy of obliteration. Lulei chilul Hashem shemon amizeh. Were it not for the terrible chilul Hashem, which would have been caused by the destruction of the Jewish people, that was the only thing that averted their being destroyed. Let's just see the psukim inside a little bit. Vayar Hashem vayinatz mikas banov uvenosav. Hashem is angry. Vayomer astira fonai mehem. Hashem says, I'm going to hide my face from them. Ki esh kodcho bi'api v'tikara chol tachtis. There's an anger, a fire that has risen up that's going to pursue the Jewish people. V'tochal eretz vivula. It's going to consume the land and all of its produce. And the psukim go on to describe the terrible punishments that will be visited upon the Jewish people until finally, Omarti af'ehem ashpisa me'enosh zichram. I said, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that af'ehem, I will obliterate their memory from people. What is the word af'ehem? I said that af'ehem. So, Rashi writes, Yesh l'forish af'ehem, ashisem peya, lashlichem me'olai hefker. The word af'ehem, says Rashi, is a very unusual word, is related to the word peya, which is a corner, as we know. So, says Rashi, what it means, amarti af'ehem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to throw them into the corner. I'm going to make them irrelevant. Something's in the corner. It means it's out of sight, it's out of mind. I'm going to throw the Jewish people in a place where they're no longer relevant in any way. Ashpisa me'enosh zichram, I'll cause people to forget them. The Sfarno gives a different interpretation of af'ehem. He writes as follows. Ashir eze peya mehem. The Sfarno also relates the word af'ehem to the word peya, a corner. But he understands it not in the sense of I'll throw them into the corner. In other words, I'll make them irrelevant. But something that I think in many ways is worse. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to annihilate much of the Jewish people. And I will only leave behind a small remnant. Ashir ezo peya mehem. We know in halacha, peya means the corner of the field. So in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, is saying, I'm going to destroy the field, which is Klal Yisrael. And I'm only going to leave the corner. V'amosar achaleh. Everybody else, Rachmanu Litzlan, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to destroy. Why am I going to do this? Because acharei shlo yisagti shleimusam. I tried to make the Jewish people a perfect, elevated people, but it didn't work. Lo b'matan Torah, v'lo b'eretz Yisrael, v'lo b'galus. It didn't work, not when I gave the Torah, not in Eretz Yisrael, not in the Galus either. And indeed, the Pasuk says in Yoel, Perigimel, there'll be a remnant left at the end of days in Har Tzion and Yerushalayim. There'll be sridim. There'll be a small number of Jews left over that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's that?
Smidgen.
Yeah, there'll be a smidgen, a little bit left over that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to call, you know, into his service. A very, very frightening passage in the Svarno, but again, that's what he says. Amarti afeyem, says the Svar, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I said I'm going to destroy much of Klal Yisrael and just leave a tiny remnant. Ashpisa me'enosh zichram, I will destroy most of them and utterly, you know, obliterate them. However, there's a next pasuk, so let's not get so okay. So it's weiter scary. Okay. So, but there's another pasuk, right? Right. No, so I mean, it would seem like there'd be very few left. But again, there's a next pasuk. So let's read the next pasuk. Lulei, I would do this. Ashbisa me'enosh zichram. I would obliterate their memory. Were it not for ka'as oyev agur, were it not for the anger of the enemy, which is collected, pen yinakrut soremo, lest their enemies act in a way which is foreign, pen yomru yodenu ramo v'lo Hashem po'al kozos, lest the enemy say, our hand has succeeded, our hand has been supreme, and all of this has not come about from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does this mean? So comments the Svarno as follows. I would do all of this, says Hashem, lulei kas oyev ogur, shemitoch kas yichasu ha'umal salosam asridim. If there would be a small remnant of the Jewish people left, Rachmana Litzlan, a tenth, a twentieth, whatever it is, you know, so then yesh lochush, there's reason to be afraid as follows. Pen yinakrut saremo, that their enemies, the enemies of the Jewish people, will be minakir, act in a way which is foreign. What does that mean, that they'll act in a way which is foreign? So the simple pshat is that the enemies of the Jewish people will act towards us in a way like foreigners, meaning they will treat us without compassion. In other words, they will treat us like they don't want to have anything to do with us. The Svarno has a fascinating different interpretation. Pen yinakrut saremo, pen yimshichu es leiv hasridim lios b'nei necha kermosam. If a small remnant of the Jewish people is all that's left, so you know what's going to happen? They're going to assimilate. Because again, we're a minority, but if we're a minority of a minority of a minority, if we're really very, very little, so it's going to be near impossible for us not to be swept up by assimilation. Pen yinakrut saremo means lest our enemies make us into nachrim, lest they make us into people who are foreign to the service of Torah and mitzvahs. Pen yomru, lest the enemy say, la'osam hasridim, lest they say to those remnants, those few Jews who are left, yodenu rama, ha, look at you. You thought you were so special, the Jewish people. There are only 100 of you left. We won. That's what the enemy, the anti-Semites, are going to say to the Jewish people. Lahachid is Yisrael migoy. They're going to try to undo the Jewish people as a nation. And Isharitim is same as Spar. There'll be virtually nobody left. So says the Svarno in interpreting the Pasuk, the Ribbono Shel Olam by right should have destroyed most of Klal Yisrael, just leaving a very small remnant. But Hashem won't do that. Hashem won't do that. That's why you have to read to the next pasuk. There's the nechama. There's the consolation of the next pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't do that. But why? In a sense, it's not so consoling. Because if he were to leave a small remnant, that remnant would probably assimilate. So we need a critical mass of Jews in the world to make sense that we're committed and that we're not going to disappear. Right. Okay, but it's not a violation of the covenant with Noah. In other words, the right. Okay, so what does the Svarno say? The Svarno says, "I would be prepared," says Hashem, "to destroy the vast majority of the Jewish people. I'll leave over a remnant." Right. He promised the Nevi'im that he's not going to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. So leave 100 people. I would have done that by rights. I could have done that, says Hashem. But I know that last 100 people, they're going to assimilate. So I'm not going to do that, right? Again, it's. I'm could be that the Nechama is scarier than the first part of the pasuk, but. Yeah. Oh, okay. So there's an interesting Ramban on this pasuk, and it's interesting to contrast the Ramban with the Svarno. So the Ramban says that the simple pshat in the pasuk, and it sounded like the Svarno in his earlier comments was alluding to this, but you see he does something different in the pasuk than the Ramban does. The Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have destroyed Klal Yisrael were it not for the Chilul Hashem that would result, because the nations of the world will say, oh, you see that God is powerless. That's not the end of the Ramban. He asked the Ramban, so who cares? So let the nations of the world say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is powerless. What, Hashem is an ego trip?
They already do worse anyway.
Right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares what they say? Let them say whatever they want to say. You know? Why is that of concern? Right? So explains the Ramban. It's a very fundamental Ramban. He says, the purpose of the world, ultimately, is to have a group of people who are sanctifying God's name. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to destroy the Jewish people, and the rest of the world would look and see, oh, you see that, you know, God can't protect his own people, it's not that it would bother God from an egotistical perspective. You can't speak of God in those terms. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a human being. But it would undermine the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is to create recognition and praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So anything that would hurt the Jewish people to that extent would ultimately undermine the purpose of creation. So that, in a sense, gives us cover. That's the Ramban writes over here. It's interesting to note, though, again, the Sfarno does not interpret the Pasuk in that way. I don't know that means he argues with that fundamental idea of the Ramban. But according to the Sfarno, the Pasuk's bringing out another point. The Jewish people may not be totally destroyed, but if even there's a small group of Jews who are left and there isn't a critical mass, then it's not reasonable to assume that that small group of people is going to continue. It's reasonable to assume that they're going to assimilate. And that would be a terrible thing, because that would lead, ultimately, to the disappearance of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, okay. I mean, you could say like that, but it's hard being the one guy in town, you know, who's a Shomer Shabbos. It's an illustration of what the Rambam writes, that, a person is pulled after his environment. So even these very pious people will be pulled after their environment, and they won't really continue. Let's just briefly see, I just want to finish off the different parts of the Shira. So that's the fourth section of the Shira. The fifth section of the Shira, which begins, Lu chachmu yaskilu zos, if they would only be wise, they would think about the following, describes how hodia siba sher biglala tiyam lagula b'achris hayamim. It describes the reason that there will be a redemption of the Jewish people at the end of time. And finally, the last section of the Shira, beginning Pasuk Mem, Ki Esel Shomayim Yodi, describes the actual Geula, the actual redemption, which is going to take place. So each stanza lays out a different theme, and that's why the Aliyos and the stanzas are divided in the manner in which they are divided. Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zocha to very, very quickly get to the end of the Sedra. You know, not, I don't mean just in terms of the laning, but in terms of history. That we should be zochet to the end of the Sedra, which with its promise of an imminent geula, and in that spirit, Be'ezus Hashem, we should all have a gemar chasimah tova.